Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 years ago this week, Wendy and I found ourselves in Baltimore. We had just experienced the General Synod, which is the national group of church leaders. We were on a religious and emotional high. It was the 4th of July, and we had an opportunity to do tourist stuff in historic Baltimore. The night of July 4th found us at the harbor watching fireworks. Now, off in the distance, other municipalities were also doing fireworks. Now, we did have an opportunity to be in a ritzy high-rise hotel overlooking the harbor, but I don't do heights. So we were down with the people. Now, we had been warned, it's dangerous to be down at the harbor. That's where the young people are. Well, having spent a couple days and nights in that area, you know, we doubted the reliability of that warning. So we went. We soon found seats and found the crowd really friendly. In fact, people were sharing picnic food that they had brought with total strangers. And as we waited for the fireworks to start, it was just a wonderful slice of Americana. From our spot, we could see up close the fireworks at the harbor. But off in the distance, we could also see other ones from other municipalities, but also from the fireworks shot out over Fort McHenry. It was a wow, wow, wow kind of thing, and my thoughts drifted to the story of Francis Scott Key. Daring to love and serve both God and country with integrity was a risk lawyer-poet Francis Scott Key was willing to take. The author of the words to our difficult-to-sing national anthem took serious his responsibility as both a Christian and American. It was in the midst of a highly unpopular war, the War of 1812, a conflict still noted for its shabby ideology and selfish ends, that Key stepped out of obscurity and into the American history. On a night bridging September 13th and 14th in 1814, Key found himself sloshing about in a boat in Chesapeake Bay on a mission of benevolence. He had volunteered to take part in a not very optimistic prisoner exchange attempt, trading a captured British officer for the release of an aged but highly respected American physician, Dr. William Bean. With the approval of President Madison, and with all the proper documentations he needed, Key began a two-week voyage down the bay searching for the British fleet. Key's negotiation skills were apparently quite good because he duly returned with Dr. Bean and the Star-Spangled Banner, which was an almost completed poem he had composed during his mission of mercy. Originally intended to be sung as a hymn of thanks for the rescue of the city of Baltimore from bombardment of the British fleet, its hymn-like qualities are still quite evident. In the national anthem, all eyes are focused on the flagstaff, hoping against hope that as dawn breaks, the light will reveal that the United States flag will still be flying. Today, as we face the dawning of new challenges and new opportunities, what will we be able to see in the first glimpses of that light? If we're content to only focus on the flagpole, we might not notice some of the destruction that has occurred around it. Will we notice the pollution staining the land and the waters lying under the protection of this flag? Will we notice the appalling number of homeless people wandering around aimlessly under the banner of freedom? Will we notice the cages holding children who have been ripped from their parents, smudging the colors of the flag? If the light that dawns is not strong enough or bright enough to reveal these faults, then it's up to us as individuals and as a church to increase the intensity of light and to boldly speak the word of God to the country we love. When our country that we love refuses to love diversity of its own people, when racism rears its ugly head, let us be the light to shine forth unconditional love. When the country that we love makes policies that discriminate against the poor and the vulnerable, while the rich get richer, let us be the light that shines forth compassion. When the country that we love has politicians seeking only re-election or filling their own personal pocketbooks and not the people's welfare, let us be a light that shines forth a change in priorities. When the country that we love demands punitive rather than reformative actions, let us be the light to shine forth God's grace. When the country that we love demands its own way or no way in worldly issues, rattling a sword of war against others, let us be a light that shines forth true civil dialogue. When the country that we love puts stockholders' profit over the welfare of people, let us be the light to shine forth courage and empathy. When the country that we love takes advantage of poor countries in the world, let us be the light to shine forth equity. When the country that we love has lost its direction, let us be the light to shine forth a vision of what we can be. Much of the news this past month has been about asylum seekers. And I wanted to let you know how I view those people. First and foremost, they are children of God. And the Bible is very clear about our responsibilities to welcome strangers. I could literally list a dozen verses mandating that. It is not illegal to seek asylum. That's not my opinion. That's the law. I've heard commentators say, well, they're not our children. And I scream at the TV, yes, they are. Second, they are much like my family's ancestors, fleeing persecution. My children, with great pride, can trace their lineage back to the Mayflower. Wow! Those pilgrims were so desperate that they did something that was just crazy. They risked their own lives and the lives of their children to cross a vast ocean which was fraught with peril, a place most of the world believed to be too dangerous to try, especially with children. But they were desperate. Many didn't survive. It was a risky endeavor, a risk they felt they had to make for their safety. And in that respect, they were no different than the asylum seekers today. But let us forget, not forget, at $775 per child per night, there's a profit to be made on warehousing children in camps. And it doesn't matter what you call them, concentration camps, detention centers, dog pounds, cages. Children are being held. Making money on suffering children is wrong, period. That's not political, it's biblical. And so the UCC has protested and said, stop the inhumane treatment. Now, we may not agree with people when they protest, against some action or policy that the United States has done or is doing. But I thank God that I live in a place where such a protest is allowed. I thank God that I may or I may not, it's my choice, to join such protests. And I do think that it is our Christian responsibility to make sure the United States is a nation of social justice, where all are given a fair and equal chance at the blessings that this land affords. And that means, at times, we protest march against the country that we love. Like guiding the course for our children, occasionally reprimanding them, so must Christians be to the country that we love. Once the fireworks were over in Baltimore, we were filled with great pride in our country. We made our way back to the hotel. It was just a short jaunt on a low floor, by the way. The crowd was large. It was filled with lots of young people, plus ones who could not afford to be up in the high, fancy, high-rise hotels, and those of us who were afraid of heights. The police presence was plentiful and appropriate. We felt safe. As we were leaving the harbor area, two rival groups of young people started posturing as both sides tried to look macho and intimidate the other. But with the police there, nothing serious happened. We arrived back at our hotel room a few minutes later, still on that patriotic high. We had just been in a large group of mixed ethnicity, mixed ages, on a night when people were partying, where everyone, for the most part, got along. That's a wow, thank you, God. And we turned the TV on, and there was some show on, and we really weren't paying much attention to it. But then the news broke in to the regular program. Two newscasters were reporting on the riots at Baltimore Harbor with African-American youth. We had just been there 15 minutes earlier. What happened? The TV people gladly broadcasted it as breaking news, and they had video proof. Surveillance showed right where we were as we walked through the plaza. And it's kind of weird to see yourself on TV when you walk through those things. It showed a bunch of teenagers puffing out their chests, looking tough. And the breaking news described it as a riot. No fists were swung, no kicks made, no weapons used. It was described as a riot. You see, we would not have paid attention to the TV at all if it weren't for their exaggeration describing it as a riot. And the lie that minorities are dangerous and young people are dangerous was perpetuated. And our friends who were in the high-rise rooms asked us later, "You were down there? What was it like during the riot?" Rachel Maddow said, quote, "The biggest divide in our country is not between Democrats and Republicans. It's between people who care and people who don't care." This is America today. And this is America today. In all cases, whether it be a terrorist bomb or a violent storm, whether it be an unjust government policy, or law in this nation, or a racist agenda, this is our place. And this is our place. Our place is to bind up wounds, comfort the grieving, feed the hungry. Our place is to house the homeless, work for reconciliation, and proclaim the truth even to the country that we love. We can do that as individuals, as families, and as the community of faith, for we are the Church of the Palms. Thanks be to God. Amen.